We've all been there, grinding through late nights, chasing the next promotion, telling ourselves that once we hit that milestone, then we'll finally be happy. But here's a startling truth. You've been solving the equation backward. What if happiness isn't the reward for success, but the fuel that creates it? Consider this. Happy people are 31% more productive, generate 37% higher sales, and are 3 times more creative. These aren't motivational platitudes, they're Harvard research findings. Yet we still cling to the broken formula: work hard, become successful, be happy. We're stuck on a treadmill where each achievement simply moves the goalpost further away. The real equation flips everything. Be happy first, work hard from that place, then watch success unfold. This isn't wishful thinking. It's neuroscience meeting ancient wisdom, and it changes everything about how we approach our lives. Your brain actively works against contentment, not personally, but evolutionarily. For 200,000 years, our ancestors survived brutal conditions where constant vigilance meant staying alive. Happiness was dangerous. Content ancestors grew complacent. Complacent ancestors became prey. This survival wiring remains hardwired today. Even Tom Hanks admits worrying about how he screwed up today rather than celebrating success. Our brains are threat detection machines constantly scanning for problems. Doctors fixate on what's wrong, managers obsess over below average metrics, and performance reviews emphasize weaknesses. Here's the liberating truth. Only 10% of your happiness stems from external circumstances, your job, health, income, or relationship status. The remaining 90% comes from your genetic baseline and, crucially, your intentional activities. Your happiness isn't hostage to circumstances. It's within your control. If happiness stems from how our brains process experiences rather than the experiences themselves, we can deliberately train our minds toward greater well-being. 7 scientifically proven practices create measurable changes. 3 30-minute walks weekly release endorphins and shift perspective. Writing about positive experiences for 20 minutes extends their emotional benefits. Performing 5 random acts of kindness weekly creates reliable well-being increases. The happiness from giving often exceeds receiving. Unplugging from technology allows mental renewal. Finding flow activities where you're absorbed in challenging tasks matching your skill level creates deeply satisfying experiences. 2-minute meditations physically rewire your brain, growing compassion centers while shrinking stress regions. Finally, regularly writing 5 gratitudes shifts focus from scarcity to abundance. The real-world impact? Researchers studied handwritten autobiographies from nuns who joined convents in the 1930s, categorizing them by positive emotion levels. The happiest nuns lived 10 years longer than the least happy ones. By age 80, only 25% of the happiest group had died, compared to 60% of the least happy group. Happiness doesn't just improve life quality, it literally extends life itself. Seeking external validation, compliments, promotions, likes, traps you on an emotional roller coaster you can't control. Positive feedback feels euphoric, negative feedback devastates. This cycle undermines self-worth and prevents lasting contentment. The antidote? Do it for you. When performing for external validation, you're caught in endless competition. A CEO once confessed, "You always think the geniuses are at the next level. This pursuit never ends unless you become literally the best in the world, a 1 in 7 billion chance." Success exists in 3 forms: the success triangle, sales success, commercial triumph, social success, peer recognition, and self-success, internal satisfaction. The catch? It's virtually impossible to achieve all 3 simultaneously. You must choose which corner matters most. When Buddha was confronted by an angry man hurling insults, he asked, "If friends come to your house and serve them food they don't accept, to whom does the food belong?" When the man admitted it would remain Buddha's, he replied, "In the same way, I do not accept your anger and criticism. It is all yours. You have no responsibility to live up to what others think you should accomplish." We fight 2 daily battles draining our happiness. The first pits our amygdala, constantly scanning for threats, against our prefrontal cortex, offering rational serenity. The second battle rages between more and enough. After World War I, mass production and advertising deliberately trained people to desire rather than be content. Economist Paul Mazur noted that man's desires must overshadow his needs. This culture of more persists today, where even wealthy people feel inadequate compared to those who have more. Kurt Vonnegut once told Joseph Heller at a billionaire's party that Heller possessed something their host could never have, the knowledge that I've got enough. This contentment represents true wealth. Consider this perspective. Being among 7 billion living people out of 108 billion who ever existed makes you extraordinarily lucky. Earning above $5,000 annually puts you wealthier than half the world. Above $50,000 places you in the top 0.5%. On your worst days, remember, you've already won life's lottery. Our retirement obsession is fundamentally flawed. Okinawans, who live 7 years longer than Americans, with the longest disability-free life expectancy on Earth, have no word for retirement. Instead, they embrace ikigai, the reason you wake up in the morning. Even centenarians maintain purpose through teaching, fishing, or holding great-great-great-grandchildren. Germany invented retirement in 1889 when life expectancy was only 67. But meaningful work isn't something to escape. It's essential for vitality. William Safire, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, didn't fully retire at 75, but shifted from twice-weekly op-eds to his beloved Sunday language column. In his farewell piece, Never Retire, he shared Nobel laureate James Watson's advice: your brain needs exercise, or it will atrophy. The key isn't retiring from work, but developing stress-relieving hobbies during their career that become mind-exercising vocations later. Business leaders consistently find their best ideas during moments away from work: a notepad beside the bed, a jog in the woods, a Sunday bike ride. This phenomenon saved NASA when engineer Jim Crocker solved the Hubble telescope's mirror problem while showering in a German hotel. After divorce and therapy, brutal honesty in an online dating profile, highlighting quirks and weirdness, attracted fascinating people and taught the most important relationship lesson: be you and be cool with it. There's nothing more satisfying than being loved for who you truly are, and nothing more painful than being loved for who you're pretending to be. Roosevelt Rosie Grier embodied this perfectly. This 6'5", 300-pound NFL defensive tackle became a bodyguard, recording artist, and, most remarkably, avid needlepoint enthusiast, even publishing Rosie Grier's Needlepoint from Men in 1973. Authenticity's power lies in alignment, when your thoughts, words, and actions click together. Gandhi said, "Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony." Bronnie Ware, an Australian palliative nurse, documented dying patients' most common regrets: living to meet others' expectations, working too hard, not expressing feelings, losing touch with friends, and not letting themselves be happier. The path forward: want nothing, contentment, do anything, freedom, and have everything, true happiness. When you flip the happiness equation and align actions with your authentic self, you solve the personal equation for a fulfilling life.